You're tuned to WFHB.
Volunteer powered,
listener supported,
community radio for South Central Indiana.
Good afternoon. Reporting for WFHB, this is Brandon Blewett.
And I'm Deke Hager. This is WFHB local news for Monday, March 25th, 2024.
Later in the program, local journalist Dave Askins of the B-Square Bulletin files a report on the Bloomington City Council agenda for this week. More in today's feature report.
It's extremely rewarding being able to speak up for these children, to advocate for their best interests to the court, especially in a system where children's voices aren't necessarily the highest priority.
That's Dorian Villanueva from CASA, court-appointed special advocates. She needs help standing up for the rights of local kids in cases of neglect and abuse. Find out more later on in the show on a new episode of Activate, but first, your daily headlines.
On Saturday, Democratic candidates for the Monroe County Commissioner's race in the primary election participated in a forum at the Library Auditorium. The League of Women Voters of Bloomington and Monroe County hosted the candidate forum with Maria Douglas, Development Director at Middleway House, moderating. Candidates for the District 2 seat of the Monroe County Commissioners include Peter Iverson and the incumbent Julie Thomas. As for District 3, the candidates include the incumbent Penny Githens, Jody Madeira, and Steve Vallon. During his opening statement, Peter Iverson, who currently sits on the Monroe County Council, talked about public education and housing.
My name is Peter Iverson. I'm running to represent you and the Board of Commissioners for all of Monroe County. I spent the last 5 years representing you on the County Council, where I've done a lot of really great things, and I'm excited to talk to you about those. My wife and I are raising our two daughters here in Monroe County. We're very proudly sending them to MCCSE because we believe that public schools are important. And I'm very happy that we are here to join you today. My campaign has a plan for the future. If you go to peteriverson.org, you can see that I have indeed a 10-point plan for housing specific to Monroe County, as well as plans for numerous other issues that I've heard all across Monroe County. Thank you.
Current Commissioner Julie Thomas discussed her strategy of innovation when it comes to the environment and interacting with residents.
Hello, everyone. I'm Julie Thomas. I am running for re-election in District 2 for Monroe County Commissioner. Thank you to the League of Women Voters, NAACP Now, PACE, everyone who helped make this happen. It is an honor and a pleasure to serve the people of Monroe County. Since 2013, I'm focused on innovation, which relies on extensive collaboration, environmental stewardship, and engaging with our residents. I'm tested, trusted, and I have demonstrated my commitment to Monroe County and the people of Monroe County. Thank you.
In District 3, Commissioner Penny Githens briefly highlighted her re-election campaign, touching on her background and issues that are important to her.
Good afternoon. I'm Monroe County Commissioner Penny Githens. I want to thank the League and all the other sponsors for arranging today's forum. I've been a commissioner for 5 years. I'm running for re-election because I care. I care about our drinking water, those with mental illness and substance use disorders, childcare availability, homelessness, low and moderate income residents whose homes need repairs, and ensuring our residents have food, water, and transportation, and more. Being a commissioner is a full-time job for me, one that is difficult to train for, so I want to tell you about my background. I have a BS from Purdue and an MS from IU. I have held faculty research positions at both the Yale School of Medicine and Vanderbilt University. I've done program development at the Wharton School of Business and been a project manager at IU. I'm the co-author of two books and multiple professional journal articles. My husband and I moved back to Bloomington over 30 years ago because this is where we wanted to raise our sons, a decision we have never regretted.
Challenger for the District 3 seat, IU Morris School of Law professor Jody Madeira criticized the county government's leadership on the Monroe County Convention Center, the new jail initiative, and city-county relations.
Good afternoon. It's my honor and privilege to be here today. Thank all of you for coming. Thank you for hosting this forum. Monroe County is currently stuck. It's been stuck for years. We've been stuck with a convention center that isn't. We've been stuck with an unconstitutional jail. We've been stuck with an urgent housing need. We've been stuck with contentious relations between city and county. Well, I know how we get unstuck, and that's through strong, knowledgeable, competent commissioners who act with urgency and with expertise. The current commissioners have portrayed their candidacy as a fight in campaign ads, a fight for residents, a fight against the city, a fight for certain stances. I prefer to focus instead on collaboration. We need mutual respect for other county offices, viewing them as co-equal branches of government. I'm that candidate. I have the business acumen, and as a JD PhD from University of Pennsylvania who served for 17 years on the faculty of IU, I have the legal knowledge to get things done. But most important, for the past 20 years, I've listened to how law affects people's lives and how we can change the law to make things more positive.
Former city councilman Steve Vallon also seeks a third district seat. Vallon critiqued the county when it comes to housing, the new jail, and its tense relationship with the city.
The commissioners have built a moat around Monroe County housing opportunities. They're making housing impossible to build and pulling up the drawbridge of affordability from renters, first-time home buyers, and anyone who wants to move yet stay in the community. They've had no plan to solve the interminable, festering human rights violation that is the county jail, except to move it out of the city, an action whose costs they continually underestimate. They pick fights with everyone, most of all with the entity that they should consider their crown jewel, the city of Bloomington. Their fighting, simply put, has raised the cost of living here and squandered the tax dollars of city and non-city residents alike. If Monroe County is one community, if it is our community, it must plan for the change and growth that our desirable community generates. It must work in common purpose across jurisdictions. I ask you to vote for a change in county leadership on May 7th. I'm Steve Vallon, last on your ballot, first in your hearts.
Moderator Douglas asked the slew of candidates about the planning of a new Monroe County jail. Commissioner Githens responded to a question about what she learned from Sheriff Ruben Marte about jail design and location.
This next one is a audience question, and we will start with Penny. What have you learned about jail design and location from conversations with Sheriff Marte?
Well, we've had multiple conversations about this, and we actually went through three-day training sponsored by the National Criminal Institute on planning of new facilities, and Sheriff Marte sat at my group, and so we've had extensive conversations, or I have personally had with him. He, at the most recent discussions that we've had, he is in favor of the North Park location that we've been looking at. He is in favor of, and I am as well, of a single-story facility. He is in favor, as am I, of co-locating all of our services for the justice sort of complex that we need to have out there that increases safety for everybody. We also are talking, he is in favor of the integrated reentry and correctional support program that I am been the lead on and trying to bring to our community. This is a program that works with those who have mental illness and substance use disorders inside of our jail. The work is done by certified peer recovery coaches, and then they, as someone exits the jail, they are then handed off to another certified peer recovery coach who works with them very intensely for at least the first 28 days after their release. So I think that I am in agreement with Sheriff Marte. We had tried to have a facility down on Fullerton Pike. My opponent, Mr. Vallon, voted against having that there. Thank you.
Madeira responded to the same question, saying she doesn't want the new jail outside the city. She mentioned what she learned from touring the current jail earlier this month.
I learned a number of things from Sheriff Ruben Marte when I actually toured the jail 2 weeks ago, when I've had extended conversations with him about the jail, because as a law professor, this is something that touches deeply at my heart, and I know it's deeply at the hearts of our community members as well. For 15 years, Monroe has been under the shadow of an ACLU lawsuit alleging unconstitutional conditions. And so I've learned when I spoke with Sheriff Ruben Marte that Monroe County commissioners didn't listen. When he represented a need to clean the jail to avoid MRSA, the commissioner said that those needs were just aesthetic, despite the fact that several of these areas were areas in which inmates walked barefoot, despite the fact that people come in without shoes, in many cases without clothing, and that's for their personal protection. It was aesthetic. So Sheriff Ruben Marte borrowed the equipment we needed to clean the facility from another county. We need a justice center as close as possible to the downtown, co-located with prosecutor and public defender offices, recovery and mental health services, and new technologically updated courtrooms, amply served by public transit. Meanwhile, we have to maintain the current jail, which is an abysmal mess. It's facing problems that are serious, not aesthetic, that pose everyday risks to the safety of employees and individuals who are incarcerated, non-working elevator. We have sewage flowing into administrative offices. We have leaks in the roofs. I'm eager to work with Sheriff Marte and his staff on site design and programming, including preventative and post-incarceration wraparound programs. And most importantly, I look forward to respecting Sheriff Marte as a co-equal branch of government.
Then Volin touched on his strategy for the new jail, saying he didn't approve of how the commissioners have handled the project. He also responded to Githin's comment that he voted against the Fullerton Pike proposal while he sat on the city council.
The commissioners dithered for years on the issue of the convention center driving up costs. Whenever we could have done with that tax money in 2019 was lost in the bickering between them and the mayor. They're equally to blame for our reduced opportunities. The commissioners dithered for years just as well on the issue of the jail, fully aware of the ACLU lawsuit, of the miserable conditions therein. They've had no strategy for working with the city to solve the problem downtown, and so they've thrown out all sorts of poorly vetted ideas to build it anywhere but downtown. Yes, I voted against Fullerton Pike, along with all eight of my other colleagues. It was unanimously rejected because it was a bad idea, just like North Park is a bad idea, moving it all the way out of town, eviscerating the center of Bloomington. They want to throw away the land and infrastructure investments they have, including the $9 million parking garage they built only 7 years ago because of their inability to build in a city and their spiteful attitude towards working with their own county seat. They founded Bloomington as the county seat 200 years ago, and now they want to hollow out its center. Their dithering and spite has driven up costs even worse than with the convention center. As far as the mental health facility, as far as Sheriff Marte goes, I asked him about the idea of maybe repurposing Showers West as a mental health facility. He said the problem with that would be we could start referring people to that instead of a jail, but so could every other jurisdiction in the state. We have no ability to control the use of that building for mental health. So it's a problem that we all will continue to struggle with, but at least he had a useful answer for me. Thank you.
Next, District 2 candidates were given a chance to address the question on jail planning. Iverson said he has a close relationship with Sheriff Marte. He also commented on the perceived mismanagement of the current commissioners on the jail.
Sheriff Marte and I have a very positive working relationship. We've worked together closely for his term as sheriff of our county. I trust his judgment, and I've been happy to work with him. Unfortunately, the stagnation by the county commissioners that has been talked about is very accurate. We have not been able to do a lot with Sheriff Marte and his vision for the community because of the roadblocks that the current county commissioners have put up. I want you to contrast that with the actions that I took on the Justice Fiscal Advisory Commission, where I ensured that Sheriff Marte was on that body as we discussed design options for our new facility. In particular, we learned the following things from Sheriff Marte as we went on jail tours and in conversations with him. Number one, we need to be able to plan for the future. We do not want to be overcrowded again. We need to build a facility that then can expand or shrink based upon the current needs of the community. Number two, we need to be very mindful of staffing. It's going to be our highest cost in this new facility. How many correctional officers are we going to need in the new facility? We don't know that yet because there's no design from the commissioners. Third, the transition team is vitally important. I've been in favor of funding this team. When I was at the pony training that Commissioner Githens talked about, that was a big issue.
Commissioner Thomas responded to Iverson's claims about the jail transition team. Thomas walked through her vision for the future of the county jail.
So the transition team has been funded. The transition team is getting hired. And we are doing our due diligence and working on a site selection. And that includes getting appraisals and getting geotechnical surveys done of the land. Where can we build it? We have looked at multiple sites, Hopewell, downtown, no room downtown at our current properties. Fullerton Pike, the Thompson property, which would take more than 2 years and more than $1 million to prepare the property. And all of these things mean time. But that would be another huge amount of time that has a human cost to it. Now, we love working with Sheriff Marte. They come and they provide updates at our Wednesday meetings. We thank each other. Initial issues regarding cleaning the jail and those kinds of things, they were just asking us for money. That's not our job. That is the job of the council. We have been supporting every single remodel, and we have helped all along the way. We have an excellent staff. They are working together very well. And so we continue to build on a great relationship. And I've been in the jail recently, and we've toured a number of facilities across the state and across the country to see ways to do this better. We agree. We need programming. We need to prevent recidivism. We want to reduce the number of people who go back into the criminal justice system, and that needs space. North Park is a great space to do that. Thank you.
The candidates vying for county commissioner seats continued to answer questions about mental health support in the jail, housing, climate change, and a range of other issues. To watch the full candidate forum, visit WFHB.org following this broadcast. Early voting begins on April 9. Primary election day will happen on May 7th.
Next, local journalist Dave Askins of the B-Square Bulletin files a report on the Bloomington City Council agenda for this week. This report was recorded on Friday, March 22nd. Dave Askins has more.
The B-Square Bulletin sends out an emailed morning bulletin every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. You can sign up for the morning bulletin by visiting bsquarebulletin.com and clicking on the tab labeled Subscribe. Here's an item from a recent installment. Next week, Bloomington City Council. What will appear on the Bloomington City Council agenda for Wednesday, March 27th? Who knows? The agenda and the meeting information packet will eventually be posted on the council's meeting webpage, but when does that posting happen? The council has a custom of not releasing its agenda until late in the day Friday for a meeting the following Wednesday. If you have inside sources, you might know that on March 27th, a resolution is likely to appear on the topic of a ceasefire in Gaza. If you attended the most recent council meeting on March 6th, or if you read the B-Square's coverage of it, you might remember that a resolution opposing a pipeline in north central Indiana was postponed until March 27th. If you generally read all of the B-Square's coverage of all the boring things, then you might know that representatives of the Monroe County Capital Improvement Board, the CIB, will appear on March 27th in front of the City Council to present a $250,000 budget. And you might know that in connection with the CIB budget presentation, there will be a council resolution requesting the Food and Beverage Advisory Commission's recommendation on the use of food and beverage tax money. If you have read B-Square coverage on the topic, you might also know that a resolution of support from the council for Bloomington Transit's $35 million grant application to the Federal Transit Administration will likely not appear on next Wednesday's agenda, but could appear on some agenda in April. Bloomington City Code requires that all the materials for resolutions and ordinances have to be submitted to the council office 10 days before a meeting. That means the agenda could be set at that time and posted for the public with all the required materials. For the March 27th meeting, that means by the end of the day on Monday, March 18th, the agenda and the supporting materials could have already been posted to the council's website. However, the custom of Bloomington City Council is to hoard the information until late in the day on Friday before a Wednesday meeting. I hope that a majority of council members will eventually recognize the deficiencies of their current approach to providing meeting information to the public. And I hope that they will then start taking steps to overhaul specific customs that undermine transparency. Until next week, this has been Dave Askins with the B-Square Bulletin for WFHB.
When Dorian Villanueva was a family case manager with the Department of Child Services, she frequently depended on court-appointed special advocates to figure out what was really going on in cases of neglect and abuse. After her time at DCS was over, she got involved with CASA as a volunteer, and right now she's planning their biggest fundraiser of the year, the CASA Gala, on April 27th. Dorian is our guest this week on a new episode of Activate, coming your way right now on the WFHB Local News.
Welcome to Activate, featuring real people working for positive change in our community, encouraging you to get involved, live your passion, and make a difference.
Hi, I'm Dorian Villanueva from Monroe County CASA. Monroe County CASA is a volunteer-based organization who advocates for children who are currently in the justice system, either abuse, neglect, or even probation. So really, they're becoming the child's voice in the legal proceedings through the justice system. So they'll go to court and they'll tell the judge what the child wants or what is in the best interest of the child from their point of view. One of the big things that we deal with is there are children that are born positive for drugs, and those can become abuse or neglect cases. And if it becomes an abuse or neglect case, then a CASA does get assigned. Other examples, physical abuse, verbal abuse, emotional abuse, general neglect where the children's needs aren't getting met. And one that people don't think of is lack of supervision. So maybe a parent fell asleep in the back room and they didn't realize all of the kids got outside and are playing in the road. It could be parents not being home for the kids and not the child not being an appropriate age where they can fend for themselves in those situations. I've always had a passion for working with children. I currently work in a school right now, working with kids one-on-one on developing coping skills and other kinds of skills to better their mental health, their behavioral health. I first became aware of CASA when I was working with the Department of Child Services as a family case manager. Honestly, as a DCS case manager, when I got a new case that had been transitioned over from a former case manager that left or whatever happened in that situation, it was CASA that I went to figure out, okay, what's going on this case? Where do we need to start? Where are you guys in this case? And I always found it a lot more helpful to talk to the CASA. So CASA highly influenced all of my cases in a positive way. And at the end of my time with DCS, I reached out to CASA and they asked me to join their board. So I am a CASA board member. I currently serve on the executive committee, the fundraising committee, and we are currently working on our gala. So I am on the gala committee. And right now we are gearing up for the gala, which happens in April. And our theme is Total Eclipse of the Heart because of the solar eclipse. Our gala is one of our biggest fundraising events of the year. That's where we generate most of our revenue to keep our operation going. And ticket sales available on our website, and all the proceeds will go towards training new volunteers, upkeep for our offices, anything and everything within our organization, really, to make sure that we can keep serving the children that we serve. Anyone can become a CASA, but it really takes special people to continue the work that they do. It can be somewhat emotionally taxing due to the nature of the volunteer position, but it's extremely rewarding being able to speak up for these children and to advocate for their best interests to the court, especially in a system where children's voices aren't necessarily the highest priority. So it's very important work that our volunteers do. You don't have to be an attorney or anyone special. You just have to have a caring heart For example, my mom is a CASA volunteer and she's a veterinarian. In order to become a volunteer, you do have to pass a background check. You also have to go through a series of trainings, and over that process, they'll work with you to determine if this is a good fit for you. If you're interested in becoming a volunteer or otherwise becoming involved in our organization, you can go to our website, which is www.monroecountycasa.org. Again, that's monroecountycasa.org. Again, this is Dorian Villanueva from Monroe County CASA. Help us change a child's story.
You've been listening to Activate, true stories from friends and neighbors who stand up for what they believe in. Activate is a partnership between WFHB and the City of Bloomington Volunteer Network, working together to build a strong, healthy, and engaged community. With production support from students in the media school at Indiana University. You can learn more about volunteer opportunities in the WFHB listening area online at bloomingtonvolunteernetwork.org. That's bloomingtonvolunteernetwork.org.
Support for WFHB Local News is brought to you by MPI Solar, a Bloomington business specializing in solar hot water, solar electricity, and solar hot air systems. MPI Solar designs and installs solar power generation systems that encourage independence and individual responsibility. More information online at mpisolarenergy.com.
You've been listening to the WFHB Local News. Today's headlines were written by Kate Young and Noel Herhusky-Schneider in partnership with CATS Community Access Television Services. Our feature was produced by Dave Askins.
Activate is produced by Chad Carruthers and Michelle Moss. Our theme music is provided by Mark Bingham and the Social Climbers. Engineer and executive producer is Cade Young. For WFHB, I'm Brandon Blewett.
And I'm Deke Hager. Thanks for supporting Indiana's only volunteered Thanks for supporting Indiana's only volunteer-powered, listener-supported, independent daily news program. You can hear tonight's full broadcast online at wfhb.org.
The WFHB Local News is also available as a podcast. Just search our call letters, WFHB, wherever you listen to your podcast. Subscribe to never miss another local news program.
Stay tuned for Spectrum, a program exploring science and technology, coming up next on WFHB.
Listening to the WFHB Local News on WFHB Community Radio. Our news is written and reported by volunteers working to provide local news, cover local issues, and strengthen our local community. We invite you to participate. You may submit questions, comments, and story ideas to news@wfhb.org. You can become a WFHB Local News volunteer by attending new volunteer orientation. Feel free to check out the WFHB Local News Archive at WFHB.org to find newscasts, individual stories, and catch a live feed of the WFHB Local News. We are local, longer,